Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
I don't know how you open presents, how you unwrap presents. Do you do it slowly and carefully, or do you open it like a barbarian? I know that I must still be young, because when I was growing up, old people, which is probably my age now, would say things like, save the paper. Did you ever have anybody tell you to save the paper? And I thought that just sucks the entire joy right out of the moment. Now, Audrey and I, we grew up a little differently. Our families were a little different about Christmas and opening presents. And when I started going to Christmas Day and the present opening at her home, everyone would sit around in the great big front room, and one present would be passed out. The person would open it, and as they're opening it, everybody around would smile and nod to each other, you know, this knowingly. They'd open the present, and then the receiver would get up and go to the giver and thank them. And then the next person and the next person. And it was lovely and meaningful and exhausting. My family was a little bit more like a frenzy. And so presents were passed out, and I mean, it took seconds for it to be over. And you know, our philosophy was, you know, a little bit, it's like, it's better to burn out than rust away slowly. And so it just happened. But so as we're married, then we start having kids. We did, like most things in marriage, we compromised. We did it her way. Well, there's some balance to that. But I got to discover something that I didn't really know before, is there's so much joy in watching someone open a present. Not just in receiving, but watching someone open a present, the expression on their face, the smile. Now, I do have one concern yet about Christmas. That we were at the dollar store the other day and bought some wrapping paper, and I discovered wrapping paper at the dollar store was $4 a roll. And you know what I thought? Maybe we should save the paper. I love the part in the Christmas story recorded in Luke's gospel where it talks about Jesus being wrapped. Would you join me? You're welcome to turn in your Bibles as well to Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 6. So it was while they were there, Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem. While they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. Verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. You will find him wrapped up. He was not only wrapped in swaddling cloths, but the amazing thing is that the Son of God was wrapped in humanity. I wonder how God the Father felt. I wonder how God the Father felt as he watched Mary hold baby Jesus for the first time. I wonder how he felt as he watched the shepherds come and behold him. I wonder how he felt sometime later when the wise men came and they bowed down and it says they worshiped. And they gave him gifts. And still, Jesus was wrapped in humanity. Do you remember when Moses, it's found in Exodus chapter 34. Do you remember Moses had spent 40 days on the mountain with God? This miraculous fasting, hadn't eaten or drank any water. It's this miraculous moment, encounter that Moses has in the presence of God. And he comes down the mountain, and it says, Scripture says, he was unaware that his face shone, that there was a reflection of the glory of God on his face, and so the people would have him place a veil over his face. And it's this veil that Jesus came. Jesus didn't have a veil over his face. The glory of God wasn't veiled like that. He veiled himself in humanity. The glory of God wrapped in humanity. Scripture will talk about how Jesus left heaven and came to earth. And it depends on what version you read. It will talk about in Philippians 2 how he laid aside his garments of glory, or how he humbled himself, or how he emptied himself, or how he set aside his divine privileges. Listen what Philippians says. At least New King James reads this way. Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Here it is. Made himself of no reputation, laid aside his divine privileges, emptied himself, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of man, and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself, emptied himself, laid aside his divine privileges, then became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He was wrapped in humanity, and because that's how Jesus appeared. Chris said that some of God's people recognized him, but I think for the most part, they were underwhelmed, not expecting this is what God would look like. This is not God's greatest gift. This is it. The wrapping paper didn't stand out. It just wasn't beautiful. In fact, Scripture will tell us about Jesus, about how he's wrapped in humanity. He had no form or comeliness that we should desire him. He didn't stand out spectacularly. He wasn't on the cover of GQ. Looking at him, it didn't look like there was anything special. Isn't this just Mary and Joseph's kid? And where does he hail from? Nazareth? Anything good can come from there? I don't think so. And yet, as he was wrapped in humanity, there were things that took place that would give us some insight to who he is. In fact, he would say it, and last week Brian led us talking about the four witnesses, authenticating who Jesus was. John the Baptist, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Father, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The works and the signs and the miracles that he did. And the Scriptures, behold, the volume of the book is written in him. That you search the Scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life, but these are they that testify of me. And the four witnesses shout to us as John the Baptist, he's the Son of God. But looking at him wrapped up in humanity, he wasn't what we were expecting. This is not what we expected God to look like. In fact, Jesus will say, well, because if you knew the Father, then you would know me, but you don't know him. A woman at the well, Jesus would have a conversation with her. And in it, he would say in John's Gospel, chapter 4, he says this, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. If you knew the gift of God, Jesus here in the flesh, God incarnate, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is speaking with you, you'd ask me and I could give you eternal life. But we didn't know, or we didn't recognize. Jesus, Colossians will tell us that he is the exact image of the invisible God, God with skin on. You want to know what the Father looks like? Look at Jesus. Philip, have I not been with you for so long? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, not in appearance, but in character and in nature. Jesus. There's a portion of Scripture, there's a moment in Scripture where we get to peel back the wrapping a little bit. I don't know if you ever did this or if you still do this. With presents. Some parents don't put presents under the tree early because their kids will peek. I don't know if you've ever done that, if you've steamed open the tape or slid the scotch, a knife just... I'm not going to tell you how to do it. but if you did, there's just this peeking and then wrapping it up again. We got to see that with Jesus' humanity just for a moment, just for a blink. It's when Jesus took some disciples up a mount that we even call now the Mount of Transfiguration. We refer to it. And as Jesus went up the mountain with the disciples, it says this in Matthew 17. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. Remember Moses in the presence of God, reflecting the glory of God? Jesus, his face shone like the sun. And his clothes became as white as the light. And they're witnessing it. They're seeing this. These disciples are seeing this. Mark will phrase it differently. Mark will say, his clothes became shining, exceedingly white like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. Even extra strength tied is not going to cut it. What I hear in that is there's nothing on earth that can compare to the glory of God. We can't manufacture that. We can't, in our own ability, manufacture what they experienced. And they got to see the wrapping pulled back and see the glory of God. And when this happened, Jesus told those disciples, don't tell anyone. It's a surprise. Don't tell anyone. Till after the resurrection, he said, it's a surprise. Just hang on. Don't tell anyone. Now, there will come a day when you and I will get to see the glory of God revealed in the face of Jesus. Corinthians even talks about that. Second Corinthians 4 talks about the glory of God revealed in the face of Jesus. There will be a day when we get to see that. But you know, the Apostle John got a glimpse, got a sneak preview in a vision. And it's in the last book of the Bible, 66th book, called The Revelation of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we don't call it that full name, The Revelation of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we call it Revelation. Sometimes we incorrectly call it revelations, put it plural to it, but it's not revelations plural. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, both at how Jesus is revealed and then what he reveals. And the unity of the book, it's singular, the revelation of Jesus Christ. I don't know, maybe you know what that word revelation means. It means unveiling. Unveiling. We could very well say this. We could very well entitle the book so we can help understand it a little better. The unveiling of Jesus Christ. The unveiling of Jesus Christ. John got to see the gift unwrapped. Look what Revelation says. Revelation 1, verse 1. This is where we get the name of the book. The Revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants. Things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. Now, as we enter the book of Revelation, that's where it starts. But John will hear this voice, and he'll turn to see Jesus. Listen how Jesus is described. It's a little underwhelming, isn't this Mary's son? Watch. Revelation 1, verse 12. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as refined in a furnace. His voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun in its strength. And when I saw him, this is John, who Pastor Chris just led us through the Lord's Supper. This is John, who at the Lord's Supper put his head on Jesus' breast, on his chest. This is John, who so intimately refers to himself as the disciple who Jesus loved. Jesus loves everyone, but I'm his favorite. Right, just this relationship that John had with Jesus. When I saw him unveiled, verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of Hades and of death. This moment when the unveiling, the revelation, the unveiling of Jesus Christ, John sees him as he is, and he falls at his feet as dead. How did John see Jesus? How did this happen? John will tell us, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And the only way any of us are able to see Jesus for who he is by a work of his Holy Spirit. In fact, in Matthew's gospel, Jesus will be asking the disciples, what's the word on the street? Who do men say that I am? And they'll respond and say, well, some think you're Elijah, and some think you're John the Baptist, others say a prophet. And Jesus will say, but who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answers and says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's Matthew 16, verse 17. He says this, Jesus answered and said to him, after Peter says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, I know who you are. Jesus answered and said to him, verse 17, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, Simon, son of Jonah, son of John. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Peter, it's not just because you had it all together and you figured it out, you read the back of the book, anything like that. The reason why you know that is because God, my Father, has revealed who I am to you. And so as this Christmas season, as we now enter here at Cornerstone, I hope this Christmas season that you will get to. Remember when I talked about, I wonder what it would look like for God, what he felt when he saw Mary holding Jesus, when he saw the shepherds. I hope that you're going to get to see someone unwrap the gift of love that God has for them, that they will experience the revelation of who Jesus is, the unveiling, the unwrapping of Jesus. Wouldn't that be wonderful if you're able to experience that this Christmas? Maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's somebody you work with. Maybe it's somebody you go to school with. Maybe it's a stranger. But you have the opportunity to share the good news of the gospel with them. Here we are, December 1st. Can we posture ourselves leaning into December, looking for the opportunity that God would provide for us to share the good news, the gospel of the glad tidings of great joy to all people, that you would be able to have the opportunity to present the gospel to someone wrapped up in the person of Jesus. That's not all up to you. It's just like Jesus saying to Peter, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And so we'll do our part in sharing the gospel, and when that door is open, walking through it and be able to say that there is a Savior who is Christ the Lord, who loves you and cares for you. But God will need to open their eyes, touch their hearts by his Spirit, and he's ready to do that. I guess, would you pay attention this Christmas season, not to what you're getting, but pay attention to the gift of salvation that you can share with those around you. And as you do, pay attention to them opening the gift. Well, they might need some help in how to unwrap this. As Chris talked about, if you don't understand what this means, all about communion in the passage that she read, we will help you. We need to come alongside and help people understand as the Spirit would touch their hearts and lives. Maybe this year, they will discover him. They will find him wrapped in swaddling cloths and discover that there is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. As they stand in amazement that Jesus is the Son of God, maybe they will find him wrapped in Scripture. As you share God's word with people and show them that Jesus is the Son of God, and from the beginning of time, God's word has revealed of his arrival. His arrival was foretold. Maybe they will find him wrapped in love as they hear and discover his kindness and his words, his care, his healing touch, that he loves them so much. Maybe they will find him wrapped in suffering as we remember the cross, as we remember the price he paid for our sin that we might live. But one thing is for sure, they will not find him wrapped in grave clothes. And they will not find him wrapped in a garden tomb, because he rose again triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. And now he is wrapped in glory and splendor. And the amazing thing is, if we will let him, he will wrap us in love and forgiveness and purity for all eternity. Scripture tells us this, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. May this Christmas season we behold him unveiled. Jesus, we come to you this day. We thank you that you've touched our eyes, that you have touched us, that we might see that you are the Son of God and that you came to give us life. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus, you didn't come into the world to condemn us, but that through you the entire world might be saved. And so, God, we pray as we enter December that we would see the opportunities that are before us to share the good news in ways that are creative, in ways that are sensitive, ways that are insightful, ways that are timely, with words that are timely, a word in season. God, let that be our testimony this month, a word in season, a word fitly spoken like apples of gold in settings of silver. God, may we have well-placed words today and all month long, that we could present the gospel message to people, and as we do, your Holy Spirit would unveil, would unwrap the good news that there is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. We pray all that we do in our lives and in our church this month, that we would see the unwrapping of Jesus, the unveiling. Jesus, we would see you for who you are, the Son of God who loves us and gave himself for us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.